And we mean action now.
Hi there, dear listeners of Radio Havana, Cuba. Today, we're connecting the dots between the roots of Western colonial rule over the Arabs and the early Islamic extremism, part 3. As was said before, the Muslim Brothers, the Nazi Arabs, despite the grudges against the West, served the interests of the Western powers. They had grown too strong in Egypt, and King Farouk, the British puppet, had been wary of them. The king was overthrown by the Arab nationalist Gamal Abdel Nasser in 1952, who entered the non-aligned movement looking for a third way of development. He saw the Muslim Brothers and the communists as a threat and suppressed them both. At the same time, he wanted to nationalize the Suez Canal, opened relations with the Eastern Socialist Bloc, and implemented land reforms. Nasser became a threat against the Eisenhower Doctrine of preserving the Near East for America's interests. The CIA quickly went to work. It secretly transported Arab Nazis and Muslim Brotherhood members to Saudi Arabia, where there existed the most extreme Wahhabi Islam extremism, which banned all political parties. The Saudi monarchy oil revenues would finance the Muslim Brotherhood, which promised to penetrate and influence countries such as Egypt, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, and Syria. The alliance dated from the 1950s to 2010. The monarchy and Muslim Brotherhood established the Islamic University of Medina. 85% of the students were from other Muslim countries. So the extremist doctrine was spread to all the Islamic world. The Muslim World League was founded also with Saudi money. It propagated Wahhabite Saudi extremism with the jihad message of the Muslim Brothers in Islamic centers. The Muslim World League not only had offices in the Muslim countries, but in important Western capitals such as New York, Washington, and London. Saeed Ramadan, the son-in-law of the assassinated founder of Muslim Brothers, in 1949, an ideological mastermind, in the 1950s, went to the United States. A meeting between President Eisenhower and Saeed Ramadan was organized by the CIA. Also, an Islamic colloquium of international Islamic intellectuals from around the world was sponsored by the CIA and United States Information Agency. He lived in Switzerland, protected by the Swiss government, where he had an important Islamic center in Geneva. From there, he traveled to Pakistan, propagating his extremist philosophy and organizing the fanatical jihadist Islamic Student Society, forerunner of the Jihad Taliban project in Afghanistan, with the aid of the Pakistani Secret Intelligence Agency. In 1957, he was invited by CIA agent Robert Dreher, an executive of Radio Liberty, to Munich, where he became part of the board of the Islamic Center of Munich, which became active in spreading Islam to Europe and other parts of the world. That year, the CIA's Operations Coordinating Board created an ad hoc working group on Islam that included officials of the CIA, United States Information Agency, and the State Department. The alliance between the CIA and the Muslim Brotherhood between the 50s, 60s, and 70s was to counter the Soviet influence in the Middle East, to counter Nasser's Arab progressive nationalism and influence other Arab countries.
Now is the moment. Now is the moment.
So, connecting the dots, during decades, without the American public knowing anything, there was a strong, cooperative, secret alliance between Muslim radical extremist organizations, the jihadist Islamic fanatics, and the secret American intelligence agencies. In 1973, Rockefeller founded the Trilateral Commission. It was to coordinate political and economic policies between USA, Western Europe, and Japan. Zbigniew Brzezinski became the executive director and selected 300 powerful international members. The Trilateral Commission decided that Carter, an unknown Georgia peanut farmer, should become president. He was tutored in economics, foreign policy, and world affairs. When president in 1976, he chose Brzezinski as national security advisor, whose aim was to create an arc of crisis in the Muslim underbelly of the Soviet Union that would destabilize the Middle East and eventually the Muslim Southern Federated Republics of the Soviet Union. In April 1978, a left-wing military government in Afghanistan took place. Under Kabul University professor of journalism, Nur Muhammad Tariq, significant laws and reforms were done trying to change the feudal countryside and backward social conditions, especially of the women. This secular left-wing government freed 10,000 people from jails. Women were given equal rights, forbade gender segregation in schools, child marriage, and all feudal-type debts of the poor peasants were abolished. Unions legalized. Most rural areas in hands of rich feudal lords underwent significant land reforms. The idea was to modernize Afghanistan. However, the traditional ruling class and thousands of Muslim radical followers, or mullahs, took refuge in Pakistan and organized armed bands, which returned to terrorize the rural population, destroying schools, killing teachers, and burning clinics. Under the U.S. Carter administration, the CIA, Pakistani and Saudi intelligence together organized the Afghan opposition to the left-wing government into hardened Mujahideen fighters. Hafizullah Amin, a PhD Afghan student in the U.S., was trained by the CIA to pose as a hardline Marxist and infiltrate the left-wing Tariq government. He eventually succeeded in taking over. Had Tariq executed and put in jail thousands of persons. The idea was to discredit the left-wing army coup. At the same time as the Mujahideen were organizing as an armed opposition, differences and political turmoil in the upper echelons of the Afghanistan left-wing government led to the execution of the CIA-trained Hafizullah Amin himself and Babrak Karmal, ex-member of the Taraki government, who was in exile in Czechoslovakia, was invited to return and take over. Intrigues were going on, and the CIA had been hard at work trying to topple the government by all means, especially by armed opposition. The left-wing government, seeking help from the Soviet Union, asked them to intervene with Soviet troops. The CIA, Pakistan, and Saudi intelligence eventually brought 35,000 radical Muslims from 40 Muslim countries as part of the armed opposition. One of them was Osama bin Laden. The Soviet Union fell in the trap, especially knowing that thousands of these radical, fanatical, anti-communist Muslims would eventually aim at undermining and cause havoc in the Muslim Federated Republics of the southern part of the Soviet Union. The Soviets left Afghanistan in 1989, and the left-wing government was finally defeated in 1992 with sustained American logistic aid. The various Islamic extremists then fought among each other to fill the power vacuum. Kabul was destroyed and pillaged. Around 50,000 people died, and finally, the Mujahideen sect was ousted and the Taliban extreme sect prevailed. The Taliban imposed a horrific ultra-sectarian version of Islam, including the Sharian law and dogma closely related to the Wahhabism of Saudi Arabia. All this was the result of several decades of alliances between the Western powers and the Islam extremists, dating back to the 50s. Connecting the dots, this is your host, Mike Hudson.
And we may